All right, next we have a large group of folks from Springfield Little Theater, and they are going to do the great musical Cabaret opening next weekend, not at the Landers Theater, but instead at Nathan P. Murphy's on South Campbell, because the Landers is undergoing renovations.
That's right.
And we have with us Cheryl Love Miller, who is directing the show and choreographing as well. Let's see. Lysander Abadia is the master of ceremonies, the Joel Gray role.
That's right.
And we have two actresses who are playing the role of Sally Bowles. So it's kind of a rarity. You're alternating, you know, two lead cast people.
Lovely ladies, yes.
Ellen Spann and Sally Turton. All right, thanks for coming in. I wanted to, before we talk about the show itself, I wanted to make mention, I think a lot of people already know this, but we lost a pillar of the Springfield arts community, the Springfield theatrical community, earlier this week at age 88. Of course, it was Burn Blackwood. B passed away in hospice care, I guess it was Monday evening of this week.
Yes.
And Cheryl was putting out the word about that and about all kinds of things having to do with Burn and his life on Facebook and other places, and you showed up prominently in the newspaper article commemorating his life. I thought I'd just let you have a few words about Burn.
Well, thank you. He most definitely was an icon in the theater community, and one that shared the light of theater with so many students and so many people local in the arts community, not only here in Springfield, but all over the United States, and was a leader from creating the Missouri Arts Council into the USITT, the technical organization, and has left a legacy, literally, of students and technicians in schools, in professional work, and in all types of positions. And one thing, as you know, from watching the social media, that the minute the word went out, people popped in from everywhere. It just went crazy. It was a surprise. We all were caught by surprise, although he was
88. I don't think I would have been. I don't think you should have been surprised by that, really.
Well,
you know?
I mean, it was a surprise that he passed.
Oh, I see.
Yes,
oh,
it was
yeah.
a surprise. He had not been ill. He was still planning on doing the set for Candide, which
right.
is coming up with the Springfield Opera. So he was active up to today, always a smile, always laughing, and always contrary and ornery since the day I met him. And so it took us by surprise that he became ill so rapidly.
Right,
and passed
so rapidly.
I
was going to say that the response to that on social media should not have been
No, not at all. It was just a matter of letting everybody know, and
right.
everyone popped in immediately. I think in one social media that I did, I had over 280 responses, like within a 12-hour time period.
Right.
But, you know, the one thing I do have to say, which it's kind of ties into Cabaret. When he went like Elsie. He chose what he wanted to do. I don't know anyone that outside of Frank Sinatra that can say that he did it his way.
Yeah, right.
When they told him that there was the possibility of helping him, but that he might not ever leave the hospital and be in a bad condition,
mm-hmm.
He got to make the choice to not do that and to do what he did. And very few of us get that opportunity.
It's usually made for us by
other people.
And
he did exactly what he wanted to do in the manner he wanted to do it. And we're going to celebrate that the best that we can because, oh my goodness, I can't imagine he would come down and get all of us if we did anything.
He probably would. And there's no memorial service per se, right?
Not planned at this time. There is a visitation on Saturday from 2 to 4. It's at Gorman Scharf, and it's a visitation by the family. It is
the Gorman Scharf location on Seminole?
On Seminole,
okay.
Yes. And it is open to anyone that wants to go there. There is not a funeral. B did not want that, so there's
yeah.
only a visitation. And then the arts community, we've already been talking between the opera and SCT and Tent Theater and all of us, that there is going to be a memorial later in the spring planned
okay.
for him as a celebration of his life. The family is working with us for pictures and all kinds of things that B did. But the date for that has not yet been set.
Okay.
And so we will get that out to you as soon as we can get things together.
Well, all right, let us talk now about Cabaret, Kander and Ebb's show, not at the Landers, as we said, but at Nathan P. Murphy's at 218 South Campbell, a kind of a cabaret setting for...
Most definitely.
For that is extremely appropriate for that particular show.
It is very appropriate. We are here because we're doing the Capital Campaign Fund for Landers Theater, and we are actually point tucking the interior of the stage area itself at this time. We finished the outside, but we're working on the inside. So right. January, February, 1st of March, we are out of the theater. So we got this opportunity as 80s Prom is going to be done at Old Glass Place, which right. you will be talking about later. And so we got this opportunity, and we have a sleazy little show in the most appropriate place that you could possibly imagine.
Not saying that Nathan P. Murphy's is a sleazy place.
It's just
absolutely. No, don't say that. But no, it has that sort of cabaret kind of atmosphere. How many people can you seat in there?
We have a 120
okay.
per night per performance. And one thing I like before the kids get into the discussion of it,
right.
we have added an extra Wednesday night to each week.
And oh, okay.
So we have Wednesday nights for all 3 weeks, and then we have another thing that we've never done before is that on Saturdays we are doing a 7 o'clock performance
and
then
a
10 o'clock
yes.
performance, and we have never done that before. So that does make it a cabaret environment even more. So
are you actually starting on Thursday the 17th or Wednesday the 16th then?
Well, now that's up for debate. We actually, normally we have a preview night at the theater at Landers, and which is an
yes, on a Thursday night.
On a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. That has been moved to Wednesday night. So we actually are having our opening to the public on Thursday night, the 17th, and that changes things because usually that is on Friday night.
Yes, exactly.
So we don't know when we're performing. We are just there on a continuous basis.
Yeah, right. You're just staying.
Yes.
You're just living. Y'all are living there. Well, all right. I can throw it open to anybody who wants to give me a quick summary of the storyline. Anyone?
Quick summary.
Yes.
It's Weimar Germany. It's 1931, and so Hitler is just rising to power. And
he has
so
not been. I don't think at that point he'd been named chancellor
he had
yet.
He has not been appointed chancellor yet, but he's definitely within the German government. And so we're in this little cabaret. Cliff Bradshaw, an American, comes to this cabaret and is introduced to that environment, to the characters, especially the character of Sally Bowles. And
he's a writer who has come to Berlin for inspiration or for something.
Absolutely right. It's sort of autobiographically based on Christopher Isherwood's experiences when he was in Germany.
Yes.
And it's Cliff's adventure through this, you know, Alice in Wonderland kind of a wonderful place, and meeting Sally Bowles and his relationship with her. There's also a story with Fräulein Schneider and Herr Schultz and their relationship as everything starts building towards the Nazi control of the government.
You have one of the earliest KSMU news directors in the role of Herr Schultz, Haven Miller.
Yes.
Give a shout out to Haven.
Give a shout out to Haven, and please come see him. He is absolutely fabulous, and he's come back to join us in retirement.
Yes,
of
yes.
His world, and he and Sandy Skoglund are Fräulein Schneider and Herr Schultz in the heart of our little episode.
Well, Lysander is doing the Joel Grey role of the MC.
That's right, I am. It's definitely intimidating, a bucket list role that I've had for a very long time, mm-hmm. and I am just hoping that I live up to the expectation, but I am loving it.
It is far and away, I would say, the most fun role in the show.
I
you know,
say
really,
so.
I think yes. I think so,
yes, especially because I can get away with anything.
Yeah. And he will try to.
And I will.
Yes.
And I get to the pleasure to play with the audience the entire mm-hmm. time. It's my job not only to engage the audience, but to both provoke them and protect them at the exact same time. Find that line where they can be comfortable enough to experience this extremely decadent, sexualized, drunken time in Berlin's history, but also telling the story of these characters and the things that they're going through as time wears on.
Now, as we mentioned, Cliff, the young American writer who's just come to Berlin, is immediately smitten by the English singer at the cabaret, Sally Bowles. Now, we have two actresses who are playing Sally, and I'll let you guys talk about the role and talk about how many, well, we can find out how many performances of each that each of you are doing. Ellen or Sally, it doesn't really matter who goes first. I'm cool either way.
Well, I guess to expand upon
that,
the role,
that is Ellen.
This is Ellen.
Yes.
I guess to expand upon the role of Sally Bowles, she's truly a musical theater icon, truly a pop culture icon, that it is really an honor to be able to play. Popularized by Liza Minnelli.
In the movie.
I can tell you that both of us bring flavors that are completely different than what she brings, just because that's how playing a role works.
Sure. You're not going to do a Joel Grey impression when you're doing No.
As far as the MC, I've sort of found an inspiration with Josephine Baker and Marlene Dietrich, and then
okay.
coupled that with this Filipino guy.
Yeah, right.
So somewhere in there is my MC.
Also, I'd like to say we're doing the 1998 version, which was brought back and revised by Alan Cummings on Broadway.
Okay.
So it is not the Joel Grey Liza Minnelli version. It's the Alan Cummings. So if anybody wants to prepare for that, they could YouTube the 1998 version because it is considerably different.
What differences are there?
I'll let Ellen explain that.
Or Sally.
Yeah, some of the differences are Lysander. Some of the differences are song choices. I think it was Mein Herr that was in the movie that they've added into the stage production. Also, there used to be an ensemble number for Tomorrow Belongs to Me, but now that's a recording. There's a little bit more emphasis on Hitler's rise to power, a little more literalization of that on the stage, especially towards the end, which we won't spoil,
right.
That's different than the original 1966.
All right. So, Sally Turton, how are you approaching Sally Bowles?
Well, I kind of like to consider her a lost soul that is kind of trying to make her fantasy life her reality and is not succeeding and is pretty upset about, but she will try until her dying day to make her fantasy her reality. So that's kind of my approach, my take on her and where I'm coming from. I think she's a hopeless romantic and it's an adventure for her every day.
Do you see her that way?
I see her similarly, and I also, like any other role, see her as an extension of myself. I think that seeing myself in Sally Bowles and seeing Sally Bowles in myself, there's a bit of ugliness about the character, but I don't focus on that part. But you do have to take that in stride with everything that you play.
You have to include that as part of the package.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that goes to say that with the package thing that you just said, things can be boxed in a pretty package, but nothing's perfect. And that is a huge aspect of the way that I'm playing Sally Bowles. But I think that it's inherent in the story that life isn't perfect in this time. It's about a point in time that was very imperfect, that was pretty bad for certain things. But nothing's black and white. You can't just say, oh, Weimar Germany was bad. It was just a wild roller coaster ride, and that's what cabaret portrays it as.
Yeah, I mean, we're coming in at the tail end of Weimar Germany, actually, the Weimar period, I guess you could say, and it didn't start out bad necessarily, but it didn't actually start out on a good foot either after Germany was defeated in World War I. So,
and actually, during the 1920s, there was a recovery period where Germany looked like it was going to stabilize. But when the stock market crashed in 1929, because there was so much American money that was upholding the German government at the time, then hyperinflation happened. And what Ellen was saying is right. These characters are in survival mode. It costs thousands of marks to buy a loaf of bread. And so all these people are just trying to figure out a way to survive and as best as they can. So they're real people with problems.
Now, we mentioned the secondary romance of Fräulein Schneider and Herr Schultz. Fraulein Schneider runs the boarding house that Cliff and Sally both live in. And Herr Schultz is a fruit seller, but he happens to be Jewish.
Right.
And not a good time in history to be Jewish.
Well, it's interesting because he is German and Jewish at the same time. He is of a nationality and then a religious faith.
Right.
And at this particular time, of course, there was the genocide and the cleansing due to the political thought process. And yet two people who are in advanced aging years, you know, of 40, 50 years old at this point in my life, that doesn't sound
so
old.
That no.
No, it doesn't sound
no,
so bad
not
at
to
all.
Me.
However, it is
hey,
younger.
I just celebrated 40 years here. I mean, you know.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I mean,
and,
it, yeah,
also,
that doesn't sound very
also
old
quite an
to me.
Award. Congratulations
oh,
on your award.
Thanks.
But I think that what we do see here is people that have survived and yet they fall in love and they're trying to finish up in love. And the political scene is not going to allow for
right.
that. And then what does that do to actual human beings? And as we know, it's not a spoiler. It divides them with Ernst, who is our character that portrays the political ambiance of that time period and the presentation of what he is working into with his political party and how he affects their life. And so actually that relationship is the heart and soul, I think, of the Kander and Ebb story. And the other characters are around them superficially to show the frivolity maybe or what they're doing. But the German Jews were the ones that were persecuted. And you know, one thing that I find interesting and when I started to do this show and agreed to do this show and read up on it is that this show has been written quite a while, but it always surfaces when the society is in trouble. And that has been proven over and over again when it comes to being presented in Cabaret. And first of all, what a wonderful thing to say of the longevity of the show. And second of all,
45, almost 46 years now.
Yes, and what a wonderful, or what a sad thing to say that we are in the position that it need to be brought to the forefront again.
Well, you'll see Cabaret at, not at the Landers, which is being renovated, but at Nathan P. Murphy's at 218 South Campbell. The show officially opens next Thursday, the 17th, and after the opening weekend, it'll run Wednesdays through Fridays, all at 7:30 p.m., Saturdays, two shows at 7 and 10 p.m., and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. through February 3rd, and general admission tickets are $45 to $55, and this is a fundraiser for the renovations that are going on.
It's part of the capital campaign mm-hmm. fund, and also I'd like to add in there that we are opening the house, which is unusual also, an hour before every performance because we are serving alcoholic beverages, thus the 18 and above for admission to the show, the topic, subject matter, as well as the alcohol.
Sure.
So come join us for a glass of wine on an evening and see the show.
Well, you can get tickets at the Lander. The Lander's box office is still in open for business while the renovations are going on all around them.
Yes.
869-1334 or springfieldlittletheater.org. You can order tickets online. And again, Cabaret opens at Nathan P. Murphy's next Thursday, the 17th, and runs through February 3rd. And well, I just want to thank everybody for coming in, and thank you for the great words about Byrne.
We're going to miss him greatly. The arts community is going to be missing a light that has been there. And an added thing about Cabaret is that we are having a wonderful response to it. So our Wednesday shows and our late night Saturday shows are the ones with the most availability.
Okay.
And so when you call, you know, with your dates, look mm-hmm. at the possibility of coming on a Wednesday or a late night Saturday. Yeah. And our late night Saturday shows should be kind of a little more racy. So come play with us.
Let's see what we can get away with.
See what you can get away with. All right. That is Cheryl Love Miller, who is directing and choreographing the production. Lysander Abadia is a master of ceremonies. And I didn't ask you, how are you splitting up the performances of Sally? Sally Turton and Ellen Spann are co-cast in the role.
Just every other night we switch off. And on the Saturday nights, one of us will do one, the other one will do the other. Yeah, it's switch off. I'm starting on Thursday night
right.
this coming week, and then every other night, it's us. Yeah.
There you go. All right, 869-1334 or springfieldlittletheater.org. Thanks for coming in, folks. Appreciate
it. Thank you so very much.